It's so good to be with you. I just wanted to start with a few thank yous. For me personally, my parents, they came to First Hour, but my parents are Dick and Nancy Eckes, if you don't know, I want to thank them for giving Kalkaska Church of Christ to me as a church family and a church home. It has been a gift to me, and the relationships that I have because of my parents, I am truly blessed. I share some thank yous. Unfortunately, when you start thanking people by name, then you kind of leave some people out. So if I leave you out, it's because I don't really care about you. And just getting that out there, you know, just so you know where we stand. So I want to say, one, a huge thank you to Jeff and Carol Badgero. I'm sure they are a blessing to you. They have been incredible to me. Jeff, he saw something in me, I don't know, but he would drag me along for rides to go and do ministry together. I learned so much from him and time with him of how to even knock on a door when you're coming in there to preach the gospel and where to knock on it. You know, you hit it on the hinges, right, Jeff? And I always remember that when I go to someone's door for the first time, you know, do I want to be a friendly knocker or do I want to make sure they know who's here? And Jeff taught me that. Jeff also taught me how to have fun. He took me for rides on the Quadzuki. Anybody get a Quadzuki, Ryan? Yeah, I don't even know what we're talking about. Nick does. But that was just the Suzuki Sidekick that had things falling off on it, and we would horse around, and you'd hit a tree, and the bumper would fall off, and he'd say, never mind, just put it in the back. I'll weld it back on later. But Jeff, I've had the privilege of going on a mission trip with him and spending time in ministry and seeing Jeff and Carol work together for the glory of God and the kingdom. I'm so grateful for them and their example and their marriage. Jeff, you may not realize this, but Jeff will check in on you and pray for you. And there have been moments in my life where God has impressed upon his heart to call me. And he has called me in the most interesting of times, knowing that God, I needed a friendly ear. I needed someone who would encourage me and pray for me. And so I want to thank Jeff for being a friend. Ministry, when we think about pastoral ministry, I don't know what you think about it. I mean, you may not have ever been in that role, but ministry in itself and spending time with ministers over the last year, I think that we can say that this entire thing and pastoral ministry in general is baptism by mineral spirit. And it takes away the veneer that whatever posture we had, whatever sort of pride, whatever ego, whatever we were sort of self-righteously projecting, all of those things got taken away from us. Suddenly we were preaching to a camera and people weren't with us, and we realized like all of the weird things that we do. I realized how handsome I was, but you know, it's sorry, that's ridiculous, I know. But all of these things that we just sort of projected, and we felt the pressure in ways that we never experienced before. I bumped into Tim out in the hallway, and we're talking about what's next for you guys. As Aetna Green's been trying to navigate what's next for us, and nobody gave us a handbook. And so we don't know what we're doing, if we're honest. But all of that has exposed our hearts. It's all been shed away, and there's difficulty in life. There's things that we wrestle with and walk with. 6 years ago, in 2015, I had a sabbatical. And I was going through a difficult time, and not unlike what I went through over the last year of just working through the difficulty of COVID and ministry and life. And then I found myself in an incredibly low spot in life. Anxiety was just destroying me. And I felt like the veneer that I have projected of having my life together and being well-liked and well-loved and loving the Lord, I felt like I was a failure and I was broken. And I needed a sabbatical. I was desperately falling apart, and I needed a break. And Dan and Sherry Johnson, Dan had just retired, and he began his rest ministries. And Dan and Sherry came down to Aetna Green, and they served the congregation there for a month so that I could be away. I don't have enough thank yous for Dan and our beloved sister Sherry. I didn't cry on that last time. But Dan and Sherry and what they mean to me, I don't have enough thank yous for them. And they ministered to the congregation so I could get ministered to. And I came home to Kalkaska, and I met with three people. And two of them are in the room at the moment. I met with Jeff, and I met with Doc Hodgman, and I met with Mike Babcock. And Rich phoned in from California, and I think it was 4 a.m. I don't wake up at 4 a.m. for anybody. But it just the mere fact that he woke up to check in and pray with me and be a part of that conversation. It was at the end of my sabbatical, and I shared some of the foolish things that I've done, a lot of my pride, a lot of my just nonsense things, and the struggle and feeling like I needed to get out of ministry. I was broken. And I shared my heart with those guys, and it was the most healing. It was also the most like, they spoke truth in love, you know, like you hear that and you're like, what does that even mean? And those guys embodied that. And they were so gracious to me. And I started my sabbatical wondering if I'd ever step foot in the Etna Green Church of Christ again. And by the end of it and the end of the conversation with those guys, I knew that I was loved. I was accepted. I had brothers who cared deeply for me. So I thank my parents for giving me the Kalkaska Church of Christ, because they gave me friendship. They gave me mentors. They gave me accountability. They gave me laughter. They gave me the joy of people who love and care for me deeply, who are listening to God's Spirit about what they need to do for each day and who they need to pick the phone up and call or send a quick text message to. I pray and I hope that your experience at KCC has been just a little bit like mine, and your life would be better for it. I love this church, and it has always been home, and it always will be. Whether the feed store is still standing, Kalkaska will be a home for me. Because of your faithfulness and your love for the Lord. And I want to encourage you today. And I know I've mentioned a few names, and there's so many more to say. Fuzzy guys right here. I wanted to say something about Carol giving me a big hug whenever I came home. And she was a gift. And there are so many more. I'm going to pray. That's what I need to do. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we love you. And I thank you for today. Thank you for the faithful people who have impacted and influenced my life. Karen Hodgman, I thank you for the gift of her joy, her love for people. Lord, I thank you for Sherry Johnson and her love and the gift of life that she is and was and what she did for us. Lord, I thank you for Joyce Babcock. I thank you for her being my Sunday school teacher. I thank you for Jan Wood for teaching me in Sunday school. I thank you for so many people, God, who have made themselves available to you and what you have done. Guide our time together now, Lord, as we open your word, open our hearts to you. Help us to hear from you and change our lives, Lord, that we would be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, I forgot what I was going to talk to you about today. No, I'm kidding. All right, I'm good. So we are in a conversation about influence. And there is a particular person in the Bible that I have enjoyed reading and studying, and it's Moses. Moses wrote the first four books of the Old Testament, five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, yeah, there's five there. And in the midst of the story of Moses, he is working with a stubborn and obstinate people, a lot like you guys, right? You know, a lot like me. We're a stiff-necked people. In Exodus 33, God is having a conversation with Moses. And the conversation is happening in the tent. They don't have the tabernacle built yet. They're still figuring out those details, and they're lengthy. And God is having this conversation with Moses, and he says to them, I am not going to go with you anymore. And Moses is freaking out because the Israelites have not yet arrived. They're not anywhere close to their destination. They are working their way to the promised land. And God says, if I go with you anymore, I'm probably going to wipe out all of them. He is fed up. And at this point, they've already turned their back on God. They've forgotten the deliverance across the Red Sea. They've worshipped the golden calf. They've forgotten all about God's faithfulness and his presence, and they've turned from God. And God says, there is no way I'm going to go any further with them, or I might just knock their heads off. And Moses pleads with him. He says, if you do not go with us, then we have no chance. If you don't go with us, we're in real serious trouble. And besides that, if you don't go with us, what will our witness be? What will our testimony be? You are the God of salvation. You are Yahweh. You are the one who has delivered us out of Egypt. We have to have you go with us, or there is no point to this. Our testimony will fail if you don't go. And God says to Moses, hey, you have a good point there. I will go with you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will bless you, and I'll care for you. I will go with you. And so Moses, he pops out of the tent. I don't know how you come out of the tent after you talk to God. I mean, I don't know what that would have looked like. But Joshua is right there. Joshua was his young companion, his young aide. That's what it says there in Exodus 33. And I think he says to Joshua, hey, buddy, I got some good news. God threatened to knock our heads off, but he's not going to. In fact, his presence is going to go with us. He says that to Joshua. Some years later, when the 40 years are up and they're right on the cusp of going into the promised land, they finally made it. God has another conversation with Moses. And God says to Moses, okay, we've gone as far as we can go. And this is Deuteronomy 31. And God says to Moses, thank you, but you're not entering into the promised land. And I talked about ministry being baptism and mineral spirits. Moses understands that metaphor. He understands because he has been through absolute turmoil and difficulty. He has wandered with this stubborn and frustrating people. And it's like he's right on the verge of entering into the promised land, and God says to him, you're not going to go in, but I have a promise to give. That young Joshua, he is going to go into the promised land, and I have good news for him, that my presence will go with him. Let's pull that part up there for me. There we go. Then Moses, he called Joshua, and he said to him, in the presence of all Israel, he said, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give to them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God gives this promise to Joshua. He says to him, be strong and courageous. You can know that I am going with you, and I won't forsake you. Who's ever heard that passage before? Okay, three of you. Good. Read your Bibles, people. Let's go. All right, no. You just don't want to raise your hand. I know. You didn't want to show how righteous you are. You're humble like that. God is telling this promise to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And we will write that on our bumper stickers. We'll put it on our walls. Be strong and courageous. And if you're like me, you get a little mixed up on it. You see, when I first read or when I read, be strong and courageous, what I think is that Joshua then can be strong and courageous because of his ability. because of his knowledge. He's been working with Moses. He has all the resources. He has all the know-how. He can be strong and courageous because of his ability. And when we think about this passage and we think, oh, hey, look, I can be strong and courageous. I have it within me. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me, right? And that is entirely not the reason why Joshua has any sort of strength and any sort of courage. Joshua has courage and Joshua has strength because the faithful Lord God Almighty goes with him. And what holds him strong and what holds him true and what guides his heart and what guides his step is not anything to do with his ability and everything to do with the availability of God in his life. It is the faithful God, Yahweh, who led the Israelites out of Egypt. It is the faithful God who calls Moses. It is the faithful God who calls Joshua now, and he can stand firm in the faithfulness of Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. And God wants you to know that you too can be strong and courageous in the faithful love of Jesus Christ. That you too can have a spirit that lifts you and holds you and strengthens you. That you can be his witnesses in the world. We can stand with Moses back in Exodus 33 and say, God, don't move us as a church one step further unless you go with us. Because if you don't go with us, we don't have a chance. We need you. And there's no point to this if you don't go with us. And we stand on the promises of Jesus' words. We look at the New Testament and we see Jesus at the end of his ministry in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And then what does he say to them? What does he say to the disciples? And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. God is with his disciples. God is with those who follow Jesus Christ. God is with you. If that's not enough, in Acts 1, 7, and 8, they just ask a question, and they're still trying to figure things out. You know, Jesus, he would be plainly clear, and, you know, they were like us. We need things explained 200 times. And they said, is now the time you're going to restore the kingdom? And he said, it's not right now. He said to them, let's go to the verse here. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates by the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God promises his Spirit, and his Spirit would come. And the moment the Spirit comes, the church is alive, and the church begins its witness and its testimony. And suddenly, those who are fearful and hiding in their homes have enough strength and courage to go and seek first the kingdom of God with their lives. Suddenly, tax collectors and fishermen become people who are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and they're willing to face whatever challenges before them. They have strength and they have courage to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Not because of their ability, but because of the availability of God. Because God and His Spirit is with them, leading them and caring for them. And the Bible has one more passage, and there's a whole bunch of these connections. But I just want to read to you Romans 8, and just a couple of parts of it. And it says that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, I needed that one. All right, thanks. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, just take a moment and reflect on that. That Spirit that rolled the stone away, that Spirit that gave that dead body life, is the same Spirit that's inside of you. And because of that, And Paul does a huge big argument, but we're just going to jump to the end because, you know, we like the Spark Notes version. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That Spirit that's in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same Spirit that will keep you from being separated from the love of God in Christ. That there's neither height nor depth that will separate you. Life has been hard. And each and every one of us have gone through a thing that has just sort of messed with our identity, what we do, how we feel about people. We've lost friends. We've lost loved ones. We have grieved. I have cried more tears in the last year over COVID and over the loss of life and people who I love and people who I've hurt and people who feel like they don't have anybody in their life. A loneliness, a hurt, a despair, this frustration, and all these things that sort of tear away at us. And I hope you would hear today that I have been there, and I know your grief, and I know your hurt, and I can still stand in front of you with the greatest of confidence, knowing that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that's going to help me put one foot in front of the other. The same Spirit that's going to help me seek first Jesus' kingdom every day of my life because Jesus loves me. And He's poured out His life for me. And I have a life in Him, and you have a life in Him. He loves you. I met someone a few weeks ago. His name is Ken Baker. And my church family back in Etna Green, we prayed for him. He was in a terrible car accident. And he was a brother of one of our members, and it was out in Iowa. And he was in the hospital for a month and a half. He spent a week in a coma. And when he woke up, he didn't know where he was. He thought his wife and his son died in the car crash with him. And his wife and kid were fine, and they were doing okay, but he had severe brain damage. He can't read. He can't write. And all this time he spent in the hospital, he just prayed and prayed and prayed. And he said, God, what do you want with me? How do you want to use me? I'm here. I'm available. Use me. And God put on his heart that he needed to have a ministry again. He needed to tell others about Christ and His love. So he came to Etna Green, and he preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago. And within his sermon, he said something that has resonated with me since. He said that you can have as much of God as you desire, and you can have as little of God as you desire. And as much as I wanted that phrase to be wrong, like I was like, is that really how it works? The more I reflect on it, the more I have found it to be true in my life. That when I want very little of God, He gives that to me. And when I seek Him and seek His heart, He gives that to me too. Ken's story is one where he has bathed his life in prayer to the point now that he is a living, walking example of out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaking. He was gone through one of the worst things that anyone can go through. He's been squeezed, and what's coming out of him is a love for God. Here is someone who has made himself available to God, and God is using him. I opens with saying thank you. And if you didn't get mentioned, you should be offended, as I said. What is it about those people that was important, significant? Is it their ability? Or is it their availability? When when we think about influence, when we think about seeking first the kingdom of God, when we think about making a difference in our neighbor's life, when we think about impacting our children and the next generation, when we think about sharing the good news and helping people see Jesus in a new way, when we think about giving people hope and giving people the salvation and joy of Jesus Christ, when we think about all of these things that the church is and does, is it about your resources? Is it about your giftedness? Or is it simply about God using you and making you available to people? I have seen God work in my life through the simplest and most wonderful people because they have simply made themselves available to God to use them. You see, the difference and the impact is always about presence. It's about being there. It's about being available to God and available to others. My challenge and my encouragement to you today is to simply ask the question, who are you available to? Have you opened your heart to God to take in much of God and give much of God to others? You've gone through a sort of baptism of mineral spirits on your own. You've had church, you've not had church. Ministers, we've wrestled with questions that they never told us how to figure these things out. I've learned more about live streaming and virology or whatever, you know, studying a virus. Things that I don't know anything about. But what I have found to be true over and over and over again is that if I give my heart to God, if I make myself available to Him, then there is someone in my life who needs an encouragement and needs to know that God loves them and God cares for them. I want my life to be one big hug to a group of people in my life and whoever they are and wherever I'm at, for them to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and He loves and He cares for you deeply. And so I ask you to hear the words that came from Moses' mouth into Joshua's ears and into his heart that gave him just a little bit more courage and a little bit more strength to know that God goes with him and He wouldn't forsake him. And God is going with you. And He promises not to forsake you either. His Spirit goes with you. And you can be His witnesses into Kalkaska and Gaylord and Grayling. You can be His witnesses throughout the world. God goes with you. Who are you available to? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You and I thank You for this day. I thank You for time with old friends and family. Lord, that You have blessed me with. Lord, I thank You for so many who have been such a blessing to me. And I pray now, Lord, for the children of Kalkaska Church of Christ. I pray that there would be faithful Sunday school teachers like Joyce Babcock in their life. I pray that there would be ministers who see in a child a spark to be called into ministry, to be encouraged. I pray, God, that they would have friendship and elders who would watch over them and care for them and shepherd them. I pray, God, that there would be children who would get to know someone like a Jeff Badgerow to teach them how to knock on a door and bless someone with the gospel. I pray a blessing on the children, Lord, that You would shine Your face upon them, that You would influence them with godly people to lead them closer to You. Heavenly Father, for their parents, for those, Lord, who are without children, for those who are single and young, and for everyone, God, I pray that You would bless them and care for them, that You would watch over this church family as they look to influence the next generation, as they look to care for and love their neighbors and bless them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to shine brightly through this church family. And Lord, for the seasoned saints, those who have laid out a path before us, Lord, those who have sacrificed much so that we could have this place, so that we could have the church family that we have. I pray a blessing on them, Lord, and give them the greatest sense of joy of knowing that their sacrifices were seen by you, their love for you is appreciated by you, and that children from one generation to the next have been blessed because of their love and their trust in you. And so, God, as we go from here, help us not to rely on our own strength, on our own wits, on our own minds, but to trust in you and to know that you go with us, that your presence goes with us through your Spirit. And so, God, give us courage and strength to be your witnesses in this world. If you don't go with us, then leave us right here. But go with us into our homes, go with us into our workplace, go with us into the restaurants, go with us, God, wherever we are, that we would proclaim Jesus as Lord and King. Bless this church, Lord. Care for them. Shine your face upon them and give them your peace. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.